Iran's president says convergence and sincerity between Latin America and Iran is strong. Iran's oil minister highlights that OPEC will hold emergency session if fall in oil prices continue. Iran criticizes UN Security Council's stance on Iran's peaceful nuclear program. Iran Army ground forces unveil 3 new devices. And Iraqis go to polls to choose provincial council members. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN English News with me, Niamat Chitsas. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad arrived at Tehran's Mehrabad International Airport on Saturday after taking part in the swearing-in ceremony of new Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Upon his arrival, President Ahmadinejad said, "A huge popular wave has been shaped in Latin America, and today Venezuela is the forerunner of a new move in the region." President Ahmadinejad added that there is convergence and deep sincerity between people of Latin America and Iran. Touching on successful elections in Venezuela, Ahmadinejad said many people tried in vain to eliminate the ideology of Chavez and the popular revolution from Latin America's political scene. He said the recent election in the country was held more gloriously despite plots and pressures of Aryan powers. Iranian oil minister Rustam Qasemi says OPEC will hold emergency session if oil prices continue to go down. Speaking on the sidelines of the 18th International Oil, Gas, Refining and Petrochemical Exhibition in the Iranian capital city of Tehran, Qasemi stressed that OPEC does not hold the prices under $100 per barrel as fair. Meantime, the Iranian oil minister said Tehran is fully ready to export its oil to North Korea. Qasemi made the remarks days after Pyongyang said North Korea has been seeking Iran's crude oil. Qasemi said the talk between the two states on the issue is going on.
We have had and continue to have negotiations with the North Koreans who have requested to buy Iranian oil. We are discussing the procedure and we don't have any problem selling them oil. For several months, sanctions caused serious problems for us, but now we have overcome those problems. We don't have a problem with transporting our oil to any country in any part of the world.
Iran's foreign ministry has criticized the United Nations Security Council over taking a wrong stance on Iran's nuclear program. The reaction comes a day after the UN body described Iran's nuclear program as among the biggest threats to the 1970 non-proliferation treaty. Rami Mehmetparast said despite all disruptions, Iran will continue its cooperation as well as commitment to all regulations of the two international bodies. Mehmetparast said Iran will also continue its completely peaceful nuclear program under the constant supervision of IAEA inspectors. The United States, Zionist regime, and some of their allies claim that Iran is pursuing non-civilian objectives in its nuclear energy program. Tehran, however, rejects the allegation, saying, as a committed member in both IAEA and NPT, it has the right to use nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. The Iranian army on Saturday revealed 3 more new telecommunications, air defense, and simulator achievements. The new attainments, named Fadak, walkie-talkie, Sahan 3, multiple rocket launcher, and T-72 tank simulator, were put on display in a ceremony attended by Commander of the Iranian Army's Ground Forces, Brigadier General Ahmad Reza Pourdastan. All 3 devices have been designed and manufactured by Iranian experts. Earlier on Thursday, Iran unveiled a number of indigenous military equipment, including a stealth unmanned aerial vehicle, on the occasion of the country's Army Day. Over the past years, Iran has made important advancements in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing important military equipment and systems. Now, despite Western sanctions, Iranian robotic teams are flourishing well worldwide. Students at Tehran's Computer Science Faculty of the Science and Technology University have showcased their robotic creations in various RoboCup events around the world. Meantime, Iran has organized its 8th Iran Open 2013 International RoboCup competitions. Attended by participants from 15 countries, The competitions provided an opportunity for Iranian students to demonstrate their achievements in robotics, programming, and artificial intelligence. The forum participants said they were impressed by the technology and equipment demonstrated by the Iranian teams.
I've been very impressed with the quality, the technical quality of the work here. A lot of the robots I've seen certainly stand equal to the rest of the world, the quality in other events, other international events. And I think the students here are very, they're very enthusiastic, they're very technically skilled. And a lot of the work I've seen here, like I say, is at least equal to things I've seen elsewhere in the world.
The Iranian teams are really fond about robotics, so they have learned that it also needs good programmers and also scientific programmers. That means that they should be able to read what's currently state-of-the-art in the literature and translate that into the programs that are needed for the task at hand. And
so far I'm very impressed, especially by the Iranian team. They're doing really well because they've got some very good hardware that even we don't have. So they're a bit more advanced than we are, so they're very good. And also about the venue, it's really nice. I think this is my first RoboCup at home competition or RoboCup competition, but they built the stage very good.
Here's another look at tonight's top stories. Iran's president says convergence and sincerity between Latin America and Iran is strong. Iran's oil minister highlights that OPEC will hold emergency session if fall in oil price continues. Iran criticizes UN Security Council's stance on Iran's peaceful nuclear program. Iranian Army ground forces unveil three new equipment. And Iraqis go to polls to choose provincial council members. Iraqis on Saturday headed to thousands of polling centers across the country to choose provincial council members from more than 8,000 candidates contesting in the first elections since U.S. troops left the country. Around 14 million voters were set to elect 378 members of the councils of 12 of Iraq's 18 provinces. Eligible Iraqis showed great interest in the voting, hoping that the new council leaders would bring progress and peace to their country. Iraq's Kurdish region will hold the local elections in September.
We came here to vote from our heart and wish good luck for the Iraqi Muslim nation. I came today to vote despite the fact that I am ill and tired, hoping that this day will be a good and promising one for all Iraqis.
And I think what I saw today is quite making some kind of satisfaction to any observer that the elections may lead to free and an election in Iraq. This is also a very good sign that democracy in Iraq is proceeding.
Syrian government forces have killed at least 200 armed terrorists in the western coastal province of Latakia. During the same operation, the forces also inflicted heavy casualties on the militants and destroyed their equipment. In other operations, Latakia armed troops have targeted militants' gatherings in Gara and Nabek, killing and wounding a number of them. Syria has been gripped by a deadly unrest since March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of government forces, have been killed in the violence. In Bahrain, regime forces fired tear gas at anti-government demonstrators protesting against the Formula One Grand Prix in the capital city of Manama. Fierce clashes between protesters and regime forces were also reported in the capital. The protesters say the regime wants to use the car race as a front to portray the situation in the Persian Gulf Kingdom as normal. Similar demonstrations were also held on Friday, when tens of thousands of Bahrainis rallied along a highway in west of Manama to demand the cancellation of the race. Bahrainis have held several anti-F1 rallies over the past few weeks. They stress that as long as there are oppression, arrests, and killings, there should not be a Formula One Grand Prix. Hundreds of Afghans have taken to the streets to protest the killing of two civilians by NATO forces in eastern province of Kapisa. The demonstration, which was held in the eastern town of Taghab, came on the heels of an overnight attack by foreign soldiers that killed two Afghans. The protesters carried the bodies of the slain civilians and chanted slogans against the U.S.-led forces. Over the past few months, night raids by the U.S.-led forces have resulted in many civilian casualties in Afghanistan. The raids have increased tensions between Washington and Kabul. Afghans have expressed outrage at the attacks by holding demonstrations throughout the country. The United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in 2001 under the pretext of fighting terrorism. The invasion removed the Taliban from power, but insecurity remains high across the country. North Korea says it is open to the idea of holding arms reduction talks with the United States. But at the same time, Pyongyang said it will never agree to any dialogue on ending its nuclear program. The comments come after the U.S. said Washington is open to talks with North Korea if Pyongyang takes meaningful steps to honor its international commitments. The Korean Peninsula has been locked in a cycle of escalating military rhetoric since months ago. Now in Boston, United States, police have captured the second suspect behind a marathon bombings in the city of Watertown. The arrest came after a manhunt that completely locked down the city for an entire day. Police said the suspect, who was identified as 19-year-old Zohar Tasranov, was found on a boat in the backyard of a house after a neighbor found him and informed the police. Tasranov is now in a hospital for treatment and is said to be in a critical condition due to injuries that have been sustained in an earlier firefight with the police. His brother, Tamerlan, died earlier after sustaining critical injuries in a car chase and shootout with the police. Two bombings in Boston on April 15 left 3 people dead and more than 170 others injured. Giorgio Napolitano has been re-elected as the president of Italy. This comes after Napolitano accepted an appeal by the country's major political parties to stand for a second term. In their sixth round of voting, 1,007 Italian lawmakers and regional representatives voted for Napolitano on Saturday. The Saturday's election put an end to a 2-month political deadlock in the country. Napolitano is expected to put together a broad coalition government to tackle the country's financial crisis. Napolitano's 7-year term ends on May 15. And finally, a powerful earthquake in China's southwestern province of Sichuan has left over 160 people dead and more than 6,700 others injured. The strong 7.0 magnitude quake hit the area just before 8 in the morning local time on Saturday. The quake was so powerful that it was felt hundreds of kilometers away in the eastern areas. Rescue efforts have almost concluded in the main districts of Sichuan, with 27 survivors being pulled out of the rubble. The worst of China's earthquakes in recent years happened in the same province on May 2008. The 8.0 magnitude quake left about 70,000 people dead and around 4.8 million people homeless. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.